Welcome back to another episode of Better Said Than Written, the podcast supplement to Arts of Cultures. I'm your host, Tamika Cody, and joining me again, it's Kim Ramsey. You've heard of her on my two other podcasts where we discussed sex and we talked about current events, but today we're going to talk about Kim. Now, I told you earlier that you're supposed to Google Kim Ramsey, and by now I'm pretty sure that you have. And what you've discovered is that she is the woman who graced the pages of newspapers with her rare disorder, which is PGAD and RGS. But first off, I want to introduce Kim and have Kim take the floor and tell us what exactly is PGAD and RSS.
Tamika, thank you so much for having me back. Yay. PGAD, persistent genital arousal disorder, which was discovered by a very prominent psychologist called Sandra Lieblaum in about 2001. Where she found that women were having unprovoked, unwanted sensations in their genitalia, and they were also having extended
orgasms.
Mm-hmm. Exponentially more orgasms than the general population, mm-hmm. and contrary to popular belief that a lot of these orgasms were actually quite painful.
Right.
So the discovery of this kind of caused a lot of confusion amongst her and her team of people who started to research how was this happening. The other term for it is restless genital syndrome, which was coined by a doctor he's in the Netherlands. His name's Mark Waldinger, Waldinger, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually has discovered that there's some issues with the nerve endings of the nerve that causes these types of sensations. So I know that it sounds like a great disorder, but it's really not. It's so unusual and it's so rare. And because of the actual term genitals, I think people kind of like think, oh my God, this is going to be absolutely hilarious.
And it's no laughing matter because you also suffer from PGAD or what we were just discussing, RGS,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can, I mean, the terms are both used interchangeably. You mm-hmm. can say RIGS, you can say PGAD. Mm-hmm. They are the same thing. I think it would be nice if we could just remove the genital aspect out of it so that people could just focus on the disorder.
Right. So tell me, when did you discover that you had this disorder?
Well, in 2008, I was in an intimate situation, and after the person had left, I felt that I was still receiving or having different types of sensations
mm-hmm.
in my genitals. So I was thinking, well, I feel like I'm having another orgasm. I feel like I'm on the verge of orgasming. I feel aroused and I feel like, and it was just this continual cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, initially I said to myself, well, you know, I wonder if he used some kind of preparation to sustain his erection.
Oh, okay.
So I was like thinking maybe it's a Spanish fly that had rubbed off on, you know, I thought very rationally.
Right, right.
Because if I thought irrationally, and you know, we cross between thoughts, like we vacillate between these thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, is this some type of hallucination?
Right.
Am I, you know, like I've got a tactile hallucination where something's happening there. And then you think, if I'm having hallucinations, is it really there? And this is not happening to mm-hmm. me. And mm-hmm. is there something wrong with me?
So you were having this feeling, and then this persisted on for how long?
I was into day two, and I'm a nurse. So I'm sat there and I'm working. And I'm in like, at the time I was working in an emergency room and I was sat with a patient and I was thinking, for God's sake, could you hurry up? Because I feel like I'm going to, you know, and you know, the person was talking very slowly and I was thinking, this is not right. And
right.
I called the individual who I had been intimate with and he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. He just found it to be so odd. And then I spoke to a really good friend in New York City and she was like, wow, this really sounds like this disorder called PGAD. I'm like, get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm, what are you talking mm-hmm. about? It sounded so ludicrous.
Right.
I had to think, this person must think I'm crazy.
Right.
And I made a devout decision. You know, it was this, so I said, I'm definitely never going to sleep with this person again, mm-hmm. ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my decision. And I never had any problems after that.
Oh, wow.
So from 2008 to 2012, and I was even married, never had that problem. I just felt that it was a one-off and that something was not correct.
So when did it start happening more and more for you to where you realized it was a problem?
2012 had my marriage had broken down and I was in yet another intimate situation. And this time my partner then stayed and he was actually watching me and he was like, oh my God, you're pulsating down there. This is not, you know, it's really swollen, it's engorged. Are you okay? He could see me twitching. It was kind of like, okay, something's really wrong.
Right.
And, you know, this went on for hours and he could see I was really distressed. I was in a lot of pain. We tried ice to the area to bring down the swelling. We tried squats to try and remove the blood flow. We tried loads of things and it just didn't stop. The first time it went on for 4 days.
What?
Yeah. So, you know, after that experience, no, I don't want to deal with deal with you if I'm going to orgasm for 4 days. In the case of the second event, it went on for 3. And at that point, because it was witnessed and I had like tangible evidence, somebody who actually saw this happening, I said, you know what, I have to seek help.
And did this person go with you to the doctor's office?
You know, he didn't go because I have this deterrent. Okay, you're causing my body to do this. I'm not going to be with you.
Okay,
so
I
just like removed him from the scenario. And I went to see a doctor. I went to see my family doctor. And he said, I've heard about this. This is very interesting. I think I'm going to send you to a genitourinary specialist. He sent me to a genitourinary specialist. And I remember the nurse saying to me, oh my God, this is just like the episode of Grey's Anatomy. And I was like looking at her like, what the hell is she talking about? Uh-huh. So I YouTubed it. And lo and behold, my worst bloody nightmare.
It was there.
It was there. This woman who had an orgasmic like event at her car wheel and crashed her car, and that to me is like losing full control, having a full on body shaking orgasm and then passing out. Yeah, that's pretty much how I don't mind doing that in a bedroom, but not in front of a car wheel.
Right, exactly. So very dangerous.
That genitourinary specialist kind of made me feel, he was nice, but then on one hand he was like, well, it's not too bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I have people who have this every day, day in, day out. So I left
so
feeling,
he kind of was dismissive.
Yeah, very dismissive. Mm-hmm. So I left feeling very uncomfortable. Then after him, I did research and I found a support group.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. So the support group is run by a lady called Jeannie Allen, now called Jeannie Lund. And she was one of the first women who was on the 2020 show.
Mm.
So it's a very small community. We're very marginalized. There's a lot of stigma against us. Nobody wants to kind of be involved with us.
Mm-hmm. So that support group, right?
Yeah.
Did they provide you with a specialist who wasn't going to dismiss you?
Because it's so rare, the specialists are kind of either on the East Coast or on the West Coast. Mm. There's no kind of in between.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to see the specialist on the East Coast, and I have found through the years that this type of disorder is treated in a very value-laden way, which is unfortunate because people do have set values around how intimacy should be, how a woman should be, how a woman's body should be. You're considered to be more virtuous if your body doesn't respond in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're kind of clumped into this kind of place that really may not be you.
Right.
You know, may not be you, but because your body responds a certain way, you're kind of pushed into this thing. So I met this specialist, he was on the East Coast, and he kind of basically said, you can't do this, 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 and I want to medicate you up the wazoo.
Mm.
And I felt that there was no kind of patient physician collaboration. I'm a nurse,
right?
That doesn't say that much, but
says a lot because you know your body, you know other people's body. Don't dismiss the fact that you are a nurse. And what type of nurse are you again?
I am an emergency room nurse, right. But I also do college health. I've put my fingers in a lot of pies. But the reality was I wanted to collaborate with my physician about my lifestyle, which is I don't like taking medications.
Right.
You know, and he wanted to like really medicate me because he wanted to medicate the symptoms. He wanted to do bladder irrigations. Mm. And there was no kind of conversation with me as to why my body was responding in this way.
Right.
And it was just, you know, I felt like I was this black woman with a pelvis that was out of control, mm-hmm. and we're just going to treat the pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
And that really wasn't for me. And it was very telling when I said to him, look, you know, I'm from a Jamaican culture, and a large quantity of us, we don't do meds. You know, it's just
not. You do everything natural.
Yeah, we'll do natural. And his response was, and I quote, well, all Jamaicans are good for is running.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, wow, this is a move on from all Jamaicans are good for is smoking weed.
Right.
all Jamaicans are good for are working
right.
multiple jobs.
Right.
So I was disappointed with that. And that actually made me look at him in a negative light, which was sad because, you know, I felt like he had a cookie cutter mm-hmm. way of looking at PGAD, and you can't. There's just so many multiple presentations.
Right.
You have to look at each person individually, and then you have to give them treatment that actually works with their lifestyle.
Right. So at what point did you find someone to actually help you deal with this?
2013, I met a woman in New York who was a neuropsychiatrist, and she actually dealt with nerve endings. She actually did masses of blood work. The previous doctor did not, which was really quite fascinating. You want to medicate me with at least 8 or 9 medications, and I chose not to take them. I even filled the prescription and then I gave the meds back.
Okay.
Because it wasn't conducive with my lifestyle. I was working 60-hour weeks at the point at that time.
So what did the woman that you found in 2013, what did she prescribe for you?
She actually worked with vitamins, herbal remedies. She we looked at my lab work to make sure that there was no hormone issues because mm-hmm. that's a big thing. They're like, oh, you know, you're an older woman. It's got to be your hormones.
No. No,
my hormones are actually all in order. Mm-hmm. I'm an older woman. I'm perimenopausal. So what?
Right.
But she did recommend physiotherapy, acupuncture, meditation, mindful meditation, and focusing on my health.
Mm-hmm.
So that the physiotherapy actually allowed me to discover just how tight my muscles were mm-hmm. in that neighborhood. So if you know a little bit about your body, there's a nerve called the pudendal nerve, P-U-D-E-N-D-A-L. The nerve that is a Latin for shame,
okay.
which is really quite fascinating
because right,
yeah. I've been shamed a lot in my life with this disorder.
Right.
And the muscles, because my muscles are so tight in that area, and I as a person who's been brought up with a Jamaican culture, we're taught that tight vaginas are really good.
Yes.
It's good. It's like, oh, pum pum, have it tight. You know, like that, them things, they're like, that is supposed to be the...
That's like a compliment.
It's a hallmark standard
yes.
of good vajayjay.
Yes.
So,
yes.
you know, I was like horrified, like, oh my God, you mean it's too tight? What the hell?
Yeah.
It's vice-like grip, you
yeah.
know? So things like... things like yoni eggs and Kegel muscles,
mm-hmm.
I'm allowed to do them, but for every tight, flexion that I do, I have to do what they call reverse Kegels, which
okay.
learn how to relax the muscles. But prior to that, when I had my first physiotherapy appointment, I went to this excellent place in New York. They're over on 5th or Madison Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and their remit is dealing with women with pelvic problems.
Okay.
And the lady's name is Issa Hernandez. She is phenomenal. I highly recommend Renew Patient if you have any of issues in that kind.
Mm-hmm.
But they worked on releasing a huge amount of trigger points. If
okay.
you've ever had massage and you've had knots in your
shoulders and your
back
mm-hmm.
I have them in the place that you don't want to have them.
Wow.
Okay, so
yeah.
they released a lot. It was the most, I think the first 3-4 sessions I could have just given up. It was so painful.
Wow. So that's great. You found help.
Mm-hmm.
But before you actually found the actual help that you really needed, I know that your story was graced on several pages of magazines and newspapers. At what point did you realize that it was time for you to tell your story?
You know, I think I was just kind of writing an essay when I think we've done the timeline. 2008 is when I discover have a 4-year grace period where nothing happens to me. 2012, it happens again. I seek help and then I go through all these different doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2012, I said, you know what? let me write a little essay on this, because this is an odd thing to happen, you know. So I wrote an essay, and I sent the essay to a magazine that was looking for unusual stories. So they were like, wow, this is very fascinating. Let's send it to an agency. The agency sold the story to, they said that they were going to tell the story in a very sensitive and
that's not
nice matter. Oh my God. It was like the original stoning. You know, I got stoned to death
in a number of media outlets.
Essence
Magazine, Sun from London, England.
Yes.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay Times did a story after me. They never actually messed around with me. Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Bill Maher. I was on his program. I was fodder for every comedian show, because it was just, you know, the Sun who did the original article. They were like, nurse has 100 orgasms a day. And what was upsetting to me was, you attach my profession to a disorder.
Right.
It's not like you see police officer has erectile dysfunction.
Right.
You don't see that, because a woman should not have those kind of issues going on with her body. Mm-hmm. This is not just about orgasms. It's about pain.
Right.
But the media attaches itself to the sexual aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So what was upsetting to me was that I really thought I was going to get support from the black community. I did not.
And
Essence was disappointing to me, because they actually purchased a picture of me, put that in their magazine.
And did they contact you?
Negative. Mm-hmm. They did not. Essence, I forget the woman's name. I actually reached out to her to say, why didn't you come to me? And I just got ignored.
Right.
So after that, I chose not to buy the magazine. I think I bought it maybe once.
Right.
Like, I buy it for the fashion, but right. I'm like, if you can't have the big ovaries to come and have a conversation with me, then I can't respect you.
Right, right.
So
now, you know, you told your story, and now you're on the platform on Better Said Than Written to, you know, talk about how you felt, how you were portrayed by the media, and you're moving on and you're doing great things now, and it's a learning lesson for you. So are you over that hurdle where people or within the media, are you over that?
Well, you know, I guess the same year, another woman also came out. So the stories, it's one of those stories that fills the news. Oh my God, this person has so many orgasms, purely for the fact that some women don't have as many orgasms or have pain like us, you know. So another lady, her name was Gretchen Milanen. She told her story to the Tampa Bay Times November the 30th, 2012. She committed suicide December the 1st, 2012.
Because of her disorder?
Because of the disorder. She had had some issues. She was trying to claim for disability. And the judge threw it out. It was very embarrassing. Mm-hmm. The woman who, I think her name's Leonora Peterson, was the reporter who took care of that story. And she was devastated. Mm-hmm. I know this because I spoke to her. We were all devastated as a community because, you know, a lot of people just didn't realize just the magnanimity of this disorder. This disorder is irritating.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why anybody would turn and say, why would you be bothered with it? But okay, you have a set time when you feel you want to be intimate with a person.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's expand that set time to every day, right, every minute, right, every hour. Let's put that when you're in church. Let's put that when you're at a funeral. Let's put that when you're with your kids. Let's put that when you're picking up your children from school. Let's put that in shopping. And then you start to say, now this is irritating me.
Right, right.
And then you start to get depressed, because what happens is there's certain things you just cannot do.
Right.
So as a person, what happened for me was that after Gretchen's death, I became extremely angry because I felt like, okay, laughing at me is one thing. I took the hit on it. I didn't go out there. I didn't do nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I took the hit. I took, you know, it was like getting punched by Floyd Mayweather repeatedly.
Yeah.
I took the hit. And what happened for me was I felt like, you know what? You're not going to say every time that you feel like you want to talk about PGAD, you're going to put me down.
Right.
You're going to throw trash my 21 years of being a nurse. You're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I defend myself. And what I felt I needed to do was advocate on behalf of people that are not in the open. Because
right,
there's multiple women, and now there's men as well, who are in the background, who do not talk about this and who cannot get care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even a murderer can go to get healthcare.
Right.
People like us, because the diagnosis is something that doctors do not learn about, they mm-hmm. become very, well, this has to be in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
yet, if a man presents with some kind of erectile problem, is that in his head? Do you say that to him? Sir, you can't get an erection, so it's got to be in your head.
Right.
Go home and F your wife. Well, no, men don't say that.
Right.
Doctors don't say that to their patients because it's a man. A woman goes in and say, look, my body's behaving in this way. It makes me feel very uncomfortable. And I have had people who I support people in a... I'm an administrator in a Facebook support group. Okay. And I'm not sure if people are aware, but Facebook is one of the places where people who have unusual things can actually find support.
Right.
There's varying groups. They're all coming up.
Right. And some of those groups you have to be invited to. And there's
indeed.
Like
and they're secret and they're private yes. and they're screened.
And that's good. And that's really
and
good.
And you can get true support. You can actually have some kind of solidarity with somebody who actually understands what you're saying.
Right.
So
it's reassuring. It makes you feel
reassuring. And it makes people feel like they belong. You know, we're not part of any community. I'm not part of the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community. They got their stuff down pat. You know, I'm not part of any kind of rare disorder emerging organization because this is an orphan disorder.
Right, right.
So they know it exists. They don't want to acknowledge it.
Right. So you started off with 100.
Yes.
When I followed up with you, you said you've come down some. How much are you?
In an intimate setting, my pelvis is now stable, so it's not like spontaneous orgasms. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I really don't like. I like to be able to drive, get in my car and drive and go about my business.
Right.
I like to be able to sit on a train. So prior to having the physiotherapy, having the mindful meditation and also, you know, having the assistance from the doctor, mm-hmm. I would have spontaneous orgasms. My pelvis would be so tight, I would just be really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be sitting on this high state of arousal, like almost on the point of, oh my God, I think I'm going to have some kind of episode, and
right.
I would always be in pain.
Right.
It's been about 7 to 8 months of physiotherapy. I've now started on acupuncture. So I'm down to about 40
mm-hmm.
in an intimate setting, and I have not had a spontaneous orgasm for several months.
Okay.
So well, it's not good. Something that I would think of. And I try really hard to avoid situations that would put me at risk of doing that.
Right. So I know that you're doing loads of, you're actually stepping out and, mm-hmm. you know, I know you're working on your master's and you're working on being on a panel. Tell us some of the things that's going on right now with you.
So, like I said, after Gretchen's death, I became angry, and you can't have anger without channeling it. I'm a great believer in anger, but I think that it has to be channeled for it to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought a lot about how could I convey the message to other people and who needs to be told. So the general public know that there's something that's this odd thing that people, women have.
Mm-hmm.
But what we wanted was, I guess, it to go to the people that really do count. And those are the doctors, the medical profession, and the healthcare professionals, the allied professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined an organization called the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. Now, as much as there's lots of discussion about what PGAD or restless genital syndrome is, it's a neurological disorder
mm-hmm.
that causes sexual symptoms, but definitely the one major thing causes a huge amount of pain in that area. So what I've done is I try to speak to individuals who will be able to impact people who come to them and say, you know, disclose this type of information. Because it's not something that you want to disclose to anybody.
Right.
Because
right.
people are so judgmental.
Very.
And they become very fixated on the, oh my God, you have how many orgasms? My God, mm-hmm. what do you do with that? And mm-hmm. and then that leads to a lot of shame. And people have lots of different considerations like, oh, I'm a church member, what would my pastor think?
Mm.
Or, oh, I work with these kind of population, what would my employers think? And yes, it has ramifications. You know, I am sure that there are jobs that I'm more than qualified for that I'm not going to be able to access
right.
because I have been in the media at this level.
Well, you'd always change your name or... right? Your first name, like tweak, maybe put your middle name as your first name. And that way they're not going to Google you.
True. But, at the end of the day, I want to be able to push forward with educating. The major thing for me would be that PGAD gets a true medical diagnosis. It's acknowledged within the medical field. Mm-hmm. And I had an incident recently, about 3 weeks ago, where I was on a very... Well, you've heard of WebMD, right?
Yeah.
So a subsidiary of WebMD is Medscape.
Okay.
And they have a professional forum. So they had an article on restless genital syndrome. So I was talking to different people online.
Good.
And can you believe it? There were medical trolls.
Wow.
Yeah. Medical trolls.
That's crazy.
So this, I had people complaining, saying, oh, this is the latest housewife of the week syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
People like you are drug seekers. People like you are just wasting doctors' time. There's people that have far more, far more pertinent illnesses to be worried about. So why are we worried about you?
Mm.
And I had just explained to them, we lost yet another person in our community. Mm. There's another woman who committed suicide.
Jeez.
In North Carolina.
And these troll doctors have no idea.
Yeah, it was a lot.
What's going on?
I mean,
that's disrespectful, I find.
A, it's disrespectful, but B, it tells you that the medical education does not include human sexuality mm-hmm. in its teachings, in its curriculum. And this is something that's lacking.
Right. So I know that you're going to be at a conference. You're going to be on a panel discussion at the American Association of Sex Educators conference. Did I say that right?
It's also known as ASECT, American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. That's going to be in June 2015 in Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
where myself and another lady called Anne Karcher, we're going to be breaking down how is the right way to treat a woman or a man who presents with persistent genital arousal disorder. Mm-hmm. Because, mm-hmm. We 9 times out of 10, you get the healthcare provider's embarrassment,
right.
Their lack of knowledge. And then after that, you get their judgments.
Right.
And I'm coming here saying that there's something, my body's malfunctioning in a way that I find to be very painful, very uncomfortable.
Right.
And this is impacting my quality of life. I care about my quality of life. I care about the quality of life of people that I represent.
Mm-hmm.
And if that quality of life is not important to anybody, I'm going to make you understand that for someone to be a mother and have this, for someone to be a wife and have this, for someone to be a girlfriend, or someone to be single and have this,
right.
or to be a husband and to have this, it's causing problems.
And you're going to try and figure out how to get the word out there in a more respectable manner, and hopefully treatments. Yeah, you got to speak out. And I love what you're doing, and we're running out of time.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say thank you once again for educating me and educating my listeners. And if you guys have any questions, you guys already sent in some questions, but I'll tackle that at a later time. If you have any more questions, now that you heard exactly what PGAD is and what this disorder is all about, if you have any questions for Kim, just go ahead and shoot me an email at tcsviews@gmail.com. And Kim, thank you so much once again for joining me
on
the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And let me tell you, if Essence got any ovaries, come back and we can do a proper feature.
There we go.
Thank you.
She said it. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.